to my mother. Have your red marker. No, it's okay. It's okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Our Father, we thank you very much for counting us faithful to be partakers of your loving grace, of your mercy. Thank you for being present in our midst, for inhabiting the praise that we offer unto you today. You said by terrible things in righteousness, you will bless those who you cause to come before you. And Lord, we pray you might anoint our hearts. Anoint our ears. Circumcise our hearts. Lord, you might break the bread of life. And give bread to the eater and seed to the sower. That we might be strong. We might go forth into this new realm, into these new dimensions you are opening unto us. Blessed be your name, in the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah. Amen.
Amen.
I just felt an unction to talk about the, I don't know what to title it. I don't even know if it has a title. But I want to talk about the soul. I've been talking about the soul for some time, and I can just imagine that we are about to get started. I'm among those who are in the there's a need for the ministry to apologize to the people, because we have failed in the past. Because we have preached the gospel that did not address the need of the soul. So I offer that apology. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, the soul must eat. Just like your body has eaten today, you had lunch and you have breakfast. And you are going to have dinner, I think, in the next few hours. Your soul has to eat. Amen. And this is where we have been failing. And in the afternoon, Brother Bot, touched on it. We talked about, when you began to speak about Genesis. You know, what happened? He says Eve took of the eighth of the tree, and her eyes opened, and she saw that she, or the Bible said that she, and it became as God, knowing good and evil. The devil was didn't waste time. There was an objective. Yeah. Now, the devil believes that you will never be able to come up to the metal. Just come up to the point where you're able to deal with it. Where I'm able to deal with it. That the devil believes that we will be satisfied with church. But thank God, God is taking us out of church. And He's bringing us to the reality. Amen. Now, the reality is in the soul. Amen. And He told the woman, if you do so and so, you will be at God's, knowing good and evil. Now, that is the level of the game. Amen. If you and I cannot fight at that level, it's over. We will have church, but we will never be able to overcome. So, let's go to John chapter 4. I don't know if I have time to read all of it. But let's go to the story of John chapter 4. It gives us a setting. Now, in this story, it's a story of you. Even though it is a story of a woman, but it's a story of the soul. In the Bible, a woman, in the prophetic language, speaks of the church at one level of the spirit. In the fullness of that spiritual application, it speaks of your soul. Because the soul is the bride of Christ. Do you understand? So when you talk about a woman, don't just look at a woman, but you have to go come up higher and look at the church. Because the church is a woman, and the church is made up of different souls. So we are speaking about your soul, you and myself. Amen. So this is in the Bible. Amen. Now, Jesus came, was sitting at the well. The well, again, speaks not just of natural well, but it speaks of the source of life. Every living thing needs energy. Is it not what they taught you in school? Biology. Every living thing grows. Even the universe is growing. Do you understand that? The universe is growing, and it will keep growing. Every living thing grows and therefore needs energy. And the devil doesn't believe you will talk about it, because in the beginning, Ramak told us about it. In the Council of Nicaea, they put the nail on the coffin of the church. That's when he was buried. Anything called church was finished in AD 325. When they had that council, that's when it ended, everything finished. And the devil believed that he had settled, he has finished with the church. But he didn't know. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. That we will be here today. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, every living thing lives and needs energy. Now, every individual is made up of spirit, soul, and body. You know that much. So, your body needs energy. Your soul needs energy. And your spirit also needs energy. Amen. And in the way, and in the design that God made you, He has provided for a source of energy for the three levels in you and that I am. Amen. The Bible says that the eye of the body is what? Huh? The light of the body is the eye. Isn't it also? So the body has an eye. In other words, there is a source of life that comes to the body. And you will imagine that the soul doesn't have an eye. The soul has an eye, has a source of light. And the source of light for the soul is the spirit. Amen. Amen. And your spirit also has a source of light. And that source of light is the Spirit of God. Amen. So the Spirit of God brings life to your spirit. And your spirit brings light to your soul. Amen. Amen. And the soul also has sources of life. Amen. Amen. So the soul is in a transitory point. So I'm going to draw a picture that I saw. So this is the soul, and so there are two rivers flowing into the soul. Amen. There is the river of life, and then the river of darkness or carnality, also flowing into the soul. So the soul can get energy from two sources: through the body,
hallelujah,
through the body, or through the spirit. These are the two sources of life. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So your soul is in the middle. It's in a place where it needs a lot of life. You need satisfaction. You want to be happy. You need pleasure. Amen. You have to buy the pleasure. You have to get it. Now, okay, we will come to that later. So this woman was at the well. Jesus was at the well. And Jesus said, "Give me some water." Amen. And the woman said, "How is it that you being a Samaritan ask, that I being a Samaritan, you being a Jew, you asking me of water?" So the woman comes from a point in which you and I have been coming from. And she's coming from the point of view of divisions, of separations, of religion. And Jesus said, "No, that I'm going to give you a water, the water of life. That if you drink of this other water, you will thirst. But if you drink of this other water, it's going to be a water of life, springing up in you unto everlasting life." So for Jesus, Jesus was operating on a different level. The woman was operating on a lower level. She was looking at the natural things, but Jesus saw the well, but he was speaking about the well of life. Now, it didn't just stop there. Jesus said, "Go and call your husband." Why does she need a husband? Not just one husband. Jesus said, "You have had five. And the sixth one is not even yours. You're not even satisfied with that one." Jesus was touching something. And that is what Jesus is touching today in your heart and in my life. Many of us have husbands. We have been changing husbands. Amen. Going from one, like you think your first husband is going to satisfy you. It may be an addiction. It may be television, maybe your phone, it may be your iPad, it may be friends, hearing. You know, some people, when they get an email, oh my God, it's the best thing that happens to them, that someone has sent them an email. Or to you go to check what your friends are doing on Facebook, what's happening on your wall. You spend 6 hours just on your wall. It's a husband. And after some time, you move from that husband, you go to Twitter. Twitter is a new husband. After 6 months with Twitter, you're not satisfied. What do? You go to, what's the other one? WhatsApp. Okay, you go to Instagram. You see, they will keep coming, new husbands. Okay, they finish one Nigeria Idol, one. Season one, you go to season two. You watch season three, you finish. You go to American Idols, you finish. They go to Kenya Idols, finish. The whole day is spent with idols. Different husbands. And so you're like that woman. So that is the situation. The woman was looking for energy. She was looking for satisfaction. And I want to tell you, today can be the end. If you will agree. How many people want to agree that today will be the end of marrying different husbands? Hallelujah. From different programs to programs. It's a bottomless pit. It will never end. Amen. You know, the emotion we will see. The emotion is typified by, you know, he told the man, you must overcome the creeping nature. So you must have dominion over the things that creep. Amen. The creeping things speaks of the nature that is bound to the earth. That is, it gets its energy from earthly things. The things your friends talking to you give you more energy than God talking to you. You need to overcome that creeping nature. It's a creeping nature. Do you understand? You are earthbound. It is the stories from your friends that excite you more than stories from God. It is a nature that must be bound. Amen. You know, many of you are at an age where you are trying to. I remember the first day I went to Metro Cinema in Enugu to go and watch film. I actually broke Asia and jumped fence and went and watched the film. Has anybody broken Asia to go and watch film in this room? That you left home, your parents thought you were sleeping, you have jumped, and you are already in Genesis. Okay, am I touching home now? Has anybody gone to Genesis without permission here? Why are you looking in such a direction? Okay, or you told your parents you are going somewhere and you ended up somewhere else. You say you are going somewhere, but you know you ended up somewhere. Amen. You are married to a husband. And that husband will never, never satisfy. Amen. So we can go on and on, but this is an addiction. And you need to say to yourself, I am addicted. I am an addict. I'm not even talking about drugs, because there are people here who may be thinking of taking drugs. That you have not taken the drugs. When you see your friends, they make you feel inferior because you have not used drugs. Is anybody like that? That your friends, you shouldn't have those friends, but you have those friends. And they make you feel inferior because you have not used the drugs they have used. Or you have not changed boyfriends or changed your friends as often as they change. Amen. That is the situation of the woman. That road will never, never satisfy.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Paul said, I show you a more excellent way.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is a more excellent way. That you can get hooked on, nobody can remove you. When you get hooked on this way, it is for life. Amen. So this woman was at that point. And Jesus said, go and call your husband. He said, this one you have. You know, I said, Lord, so it means you're a prophet. He says, our father said, you people say in this mountain you must worship. Okay, and Jesus told her, neither in Jerusalem or in this mountain. For those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen.
Amen.
So we want to talk about that worship, spiritual worship. Because for many people, the religion or worship is what happens on Sunday morning or the midweek fellowship. And some of you, you have been going there because your parents make you to go. Brother Mark was talking about it in the morning. You just go. You didn't have to make a decision. You have not yet made the decision. Amen. That is religion. And for this woman, that's where she came from. Let me read it. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Verse 19 says, "The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art the prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Now, this is the lie of the devil. Now, this is what he has been selling to the church. And even in the so-called end-time church, this is what we have taken. Now, when you want to worship God, you worship God in a location. So I call it locational worship. That is, if you want to worship God, you come to Port Harcourt Youth Camp. You don't worship God in Port Harcourt Youth Camp. Or you go to MIS, or you go to Port Harcourt place, or you go to whatever name. Those are religious places. You have to forgive me, but that's good. Amen. They are religious places. Amen. Because those who worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So we see another picture. The picture of the pyramids. Sorry, of the triangles. So there are five levels. So this is location. You can put Jerusalem, MIS, or whatever it is. Amen. That's the lowest dimension of worship. It is true, the Bible says, as often as we see the day appearing, what must we do? We must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It's good. It's good to come. If you have come here, you have done the good thing. But this is the lowest form of worship. Amen. It's the lowest form of worship. The location. So we have another one here. That's the location. Amen. So let's look at the next verse. It says, verse 21, Jesus said unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Verse 23, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in the spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him." God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So, what I'm saying is that your worship must go beyond the natural. Now, this location worship is what you find in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, They were told, if you are going to bring an offering, you must go to Jerusalem to bring the offering. Amen. So it was based on the location. It was based on the circumstance, the environment. But in the New Testament, it is not so. It's beyond the natural worship. Amen. It must go beyond the natural worship. And that worship is the worship in the Spirit. Now, what does it mean to worship God in the Spirit? We are getting distracted. Okay? What does it mean to worship God in the Spirit? What does spiritual worship mean? Now, the spiritual worship has to do with the individual. And that is what you find in the New Testament. Spiritual worship is the individual. Now, where do you find that? Romans chapter 8 says, you are not in the flesh if the Spirit of God dwells in you. Amen. Amen. That's Romans 8. So that's the first scripture that gives us a direct application. So we know. So someone who has the Spirit of God in him is in the Spirit. Why is he in the Spirit? The soul of that individual is under the influence, under the control, under the direction of the Spirit of God. Amen. So when you talk about the Spirit, you are speaking about the soul. You are also speaking of the Spirit. So the worship that takes place in your soul is referred to as worship in the Spirit. And it's speaking of a relationship. Okay, so the spiritual worship is speaking about what takes place within your soul. Let's get some scripture for that. Jesus in John chapter 2 was speaking to them. They were showing him the temple, and he said to them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Okay, and the Bible said he was speaking of the temple of his body.
Amen.
Amen. So can you show that scripture, John chapter 2 verse 19. John 2, 19. Just go back one page in your Bible to John 2, 19. Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. And he was speaking of the temple of his body. Now, this is the first direct reference that was made. All along, the temple had been a physical building, but Jesus comes and he says that the temple is not just physical building, it is another building, and that building is the building of the individual.
Amen.
Amen. Now, many of us still have the Old Testament mentality of location. So, like our young brother who came here was telling us, if you want to overcome, you must believe to overcome. Amen.
Amen.
If you want to overcome, you must have the ability. And that, the beginning, empowerment you need is the empowerment of the mind. And what is that empowerment? That you are the temple of the living God. Now, God is a spirit. God is also going to dwell, or you worship God in a building that is eternal. And the eternal building God has made is you. Every soul is going to live forever. Amen.
Amen.
Every individual that comes into this world is an eternal dwelling place. And you must know that. Now, what is the question? It's not the question whether will I live forever or not. That's not the issue. What is in question is what kind of dwelling place will you be? Is it God that will dwell in you or devils that will dwell in you? Amen. So it's not just about enjoyment or no enjoyment. It is a question of you being a dwelling place. Every soul was made to be a house, a dwelling place, a vessel. And God created you with the capacity to be a dwelling place. The Bible says that when a spirit has gone out of a man, he goes through dry places. And when he doesn't get light, he says, I will go back to what? My house. Amen. How many people know that they are a house? You know that you are a house. Okay, very few people know. I want to tell you that you are a dwelling place. You are a spiritual dwelling place. Amen. And you're not just a spiritual, you're an eternal spiritual dwelling place. Hallelujah. Amen. So, the second level, is man. That man is the place of worship. Amen. Man is the temple. So God is seeking for such to worship him. He says, in my father's house there are what? Many mansions. The Greek call it oikodome. That is, it's a dwelling place. You are a house. Say you are a house. I'm a house. Amen. I'm a beautiful house. When you wake up in the morning, look at yourself in the mirror. Instead of spending time, you just spend 1 hour saying, I'm a house, I'm a house, I'm a house. I'm a house. You keep tell yourself, I'm a house, I'm a house, so that your mentality starts changing. Amen. Paul said, do you not know that you are the temple of the living God? Is that not what Paul said? How many people know that scripture? Okay, let's turn to it. 1 Corinthians 3. This is just the second level. Okay, so we have dealt with number one. We are in the two. We still have three to go before we can get to the message. Amen. Okay, John chapter 3, verse 16. Let's go quickly. 1 Corinthians 3, 16. We are doing this for those who do not know. So I said that you are writing it down. Okay, First Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that what the Spirit of God does what dwelleth in you." If the Spirit of God is not in you, and that Spirit will be there. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Whether you say amen or not, that is reality. And some of us, as we are sitting there, we are carrying some spirits. Amen. And by the end of this camp, most of those spirits will be gone. Already, we saw that spirit going. Somebody saw the Mami Water spirit going. Don't you understand? Where is it going from? It's going from your house. It's the spirit of pride. It is in man. Now, religion says, no, spirits are not dwelling in you. They dwell in the bush on the road to your village. That big tree, that's where spirits dwell. That's what the devil has told you. Amen. But today, you know better.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Spirits are dwelling in this body. Hallelujah. And God wants to deliver us. That's why we came to this camp. God wants to deliver us. Now that I'm talking about it, there are openings in the body. That's this picture. Let me come to this picture. There are five openings in this body. Through those openings, carnal life comes into the soul. So what are those eyes? So this one will go with pornography. We'll go with movies, fashion. This comes under a big heading called lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes, sorry. Lust of the eyes. There are spirits that enter the soul through the eyes.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Say a big amen now.
Amen.
So as the message is going on, you should be casting the spirits out of you.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. So the Bible said that he cast out the spirit by his word. Amen. Because the entrance of the word brings life. See, the words that I speak to you, they are what? Spirit. And they are life. So, these are rivers flowing. Now, in Egypt, there was a river flowing. What's the name of that river? River Nile. What do you find in the River Nile? I'll tell you, frogs. Yes. Bible said that frogs came out. The plague of frogs. They came from the River Nile. They entered the bed. They entered the utensils. They entered the drinking. That's everything was defiled. And this is what is defiling the ministries, is defiling the world, is defiling the marriages, defiling relationships. That's it. When people want to get married, they are getting married for sex. Amen.
Amen.
Say amen now. It is the River Nile. You don't get married for sex.
Amen.
Marriage is a fellowship.
Amen.
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 Marriage is to glorify God.
Amen.
You don't get married to have children. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I thought the amen would be very strong. By the way, it says in the resurrection, you don't need to have need of marriage. It shall be like the angels. Hallelujah. So, we are speaking of the soul. The energy in the soul. There's a river that flows. The River Nile is found in the world. That is the strength of Egypt. That is the excitement in the world today. You know, the cellular technology, social media. Everything in the social media is what? Carnality. River Nile. Somebody say River Nile. There's sweetness in it. But you see, it's called good and evil. It's a tree of good and evil. It's mixed. There's goodness. Anybody that tells you there's no sweetness in social media, oh, it's sweet. Carnality is sweet. But the Bible says thereafter, your mouth will be filled with gravel. Amen.
Amen.
There are consequences. Alright? Teenage pregnancy is a consequence. You don't want teenage pregnancy. What will happen? Teenage abortion. Teenage abortion leads to infertility. That is, you won't have children when you get married. Yes, it's a consequence. And you better believe it. There's also another consequence, HIV. And sexually transmitted diseases is a consequence. Is it in the church? Oh, we don't talk about those things. Those are not things to talk about in the church. Well, we are talking about it.
Amen.
Amen. And because God loves you, first time, first cut. You know what it means? That's first time, first cut. That's others will go and go free. But you, first time, first cut. Amen.
Amen.
So don't even try. If there's anybody in this room, say, I will try. Don't try.
Amen.
I will use condom. Don't worry. The condom is not meant for sexual protection. It's meant for family. It doesn't stop viruses. Okay, that's my job. So I'm telling you about my job. So don't even try. Say, no, use this. Don't try it. Because first time, first cut. You'll be caught. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, so we're back to River Nile. But there's another river. Okay. The river of life.
Hallelujah.
It comes through the mind. Comes through the mind. So there is the body is an opening through which you relate with the world. Alright? Okay, so let's do my practical. I have a practical. Okay, so everybody, hold your two ears. Go on, hold your ears. Now close your ear. Use your hand and close your nose. Then yes, the same hand close, then close your eye. Yes, close your eye. Close your eye and close your nose and close your ear. You are dead. Are you alive? It is. If you are not seeing anything, you are not hearing anything, and you are not smelling anything, you are dead. The world is dead to you. You are dead to the world. Amen. Hallelujah. If you want to overcome, watch your eyes. Watch your ears. Watch your discernment. The nose is for discernment. Amen. So there are openings in the body. And through this opening, carnal life comes into the soul. Now what that means is that if you are intelligent, you think out of the box. If you want to control somebody's emotion, what do you need to do? If you control what he sees. If I control what you see, then I have access to your emotion. Okay, so here is the soul. This is the soul. With the mind. Okay, mind is there already. This is emotion. This is the desire. And then the will is somewhere there. Now, how can you get access to somebody's emotions? Through what is the pictures that you see. The thing, the sound you hear. Alright? What you discern. That is your relationship with the environment. Now, the relationship with the environment is called cosmos. Huh? It's a Greek word that means carefully arranged system in which the world operates. That's cosmos. Alright? International Football Federation is part of the cosmos. They have a football calendar for the year. English Premier League has a calendar for the year. Nollywood has a... I'm looking at my people now. Nollywood has a calendar for the year. Instagram has a calendar for the year. Facebook has its own system. If you're on Facebook, there's a way in which it works. Now, these are the cosmos. Now, the devil has arranged those things. You want pleasure. Alright? Say amen now. You want pleasure. You want excitement. Alright? Fine. You'll have excitement. But you must sell something. You must pay for it. The Bible says that no man will buy or sell except you have what? The mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is a nature. It is the nature of darkness. Remember, Brother Paul is telling us about darkness. The darkness is within the soul. That's the currency. That's the currency. Amen. The darkness must be fed with darkness. It cannot be fed with light. Don't you understand? That is what the Bible calls the mark of the beast. There is a spirit of darkness. There is a reality of darkness that is within every, and that reality is in the well, it's in the eye, it's in the source. Okay, so you're not just looking at you have the man, you have the soul here, you have the mind, they have the conscience. This is what the Bible calls the loins of the mind. Of the mind. That is the source. That is the source of life. Or the well. Or the fountain. The very, very, very highest dimension of your soul. That's where the devil has gone and put darkness. Amen. Right at the top. But you are worshipping God at the lowest. Okay? So you think really church is in a place when you come to MIS. The devil has gone beyond. He's already at the source of your mind. The place of energy. That because it's the loins of the mind. That's where life is brought forth. Everybody here has the ability to bring forth life or to bring forth darkness. And that darkness must be fed. It has an energy. It must be fed. And it drives, Paul said that the things I want to do, I cannot do. Huh? And the things I do not want to do, what happens? That I do. Therefore, I have concluded, it's no longer I that does it. Huh? It is what? Darkness, the sin that is in me, that doeth those things. He's not in control. And many of us are not in control. There is a darkness. There is something at the source of our being driving us in a particular dimension. Whether it's a besetting sin or a weight or a habit, whatever name you use, you must raise your game. You must change location.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You must change your strategy. We can no longer fight at this level. We must go up. Amen. We may not even, I pray that by God's grace we may be able to get there. But we are trying to lay the foundation. This world has been designed by the devil to control the soul. Amen. Now, you may not like it, I may not like it, because the source of energy, the things that you enjoy, are about to be taken away from you. And they told the man, go and sell all that you have, and then you shall enter eternal life. Amen. The young man came and said, Lord, I want to worship you. Jesus said, no problem. Go and keep the law. Say, I have been doing so from my youth up. There are many of us who have been keeping so from our youth up. Yet we find a problem where we know it's not, there is something missing. And Jesus is saying, go and do what? Sell your goods. Sell your possessions. And the Bible says that the young man counted the cost. He had many riches, many possessions. And he said, I cannot sell them. You know, so we are hearing the word that we have to make a decision. And I pray our decision will not be like that young man. He was a rich young ruler. The Bible says he went away sorrowful. I pray we will sell.
Amen.
Amen. Are we going to sell? The Bible says that when you find a pearl of, somebody found a pearl of great price in a field, that means that field is also very precious. Is it not so? To find a pearl or great price in the field. That means itself is. And it might be said that he sold everything and went and bought it. We need to sell our possessions in the world. You know, and these possessions are the things that give us life. When we want life, we'll go there and we can get life. But in doing so, we sell our soul to the devil. We get ourselves bound. Amen. I thought I would hear amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, we are speaking about the realities of spiritual warfare. If you want to engage in spiritual warfare, then you must cut off the life you give to your enemy. You cannot strengthen, you cannot overcome a spirit you feed. So if you want to overcome the devil, stop feeding the devil.
Amen.
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 I thought I would hear a big amen.
Amen.
Stop feeding the devil. Stop feeding the devil. How do you stop? Brother Paul told us the other day, if you want to close the back door, because these are the back doors, these openings in the body. The right door is through the mind. Amen.
Amen.
The word of God is spirit.
Amen.
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 When the word of God comes into you, the spirit of God comes with it. The Bible says it is the sword of the spirit. It is the platform in which the spirit of God works. So if you want the spirit of God to bring life to you, you go to the word of God. Amen. As you start reading the word of God, the spirit of God starts coming into you. And it's coming with life.
Amen.
The Bible says it is the spirit that quickens it. It is the spirit that gives life. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the devil tells you, no, 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 the spirit can never give you life. You are too carnal. You are not too carnal. You are spiritual. If the spirit of God is in you, you are spiritual.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Yes.
If you go to that river, you will receive life.
Amen.
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 It is a decision. If you open your door, we sing the song, swing wide, ye everlasting doors, and let the King of glory come in.
Amen.
Amen. How does the King of glory come in? By his word. And someone says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you. How do you hide your word? That means your word must be in the mind. It must open the mind. The mind, we will not talk about it today. The mind has different dimensions. We will get to it by God's grace. But I'm trying to impress on us that we must change our Christianity.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And the first rule is that you must see yourself as the new temple. You are the place of worship. Your mind is the place of worship. And your conscience is the place of worship. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. So we're back again to this. This is the body. And there are five senses in the body. There are five senses. Your eye. One. Let's count. Number two, the ears. Number two. Number three, the nose. Four. Number four,
mouth.
Where is the mouth? In the leg. Okay, everybody touch your mouth. You can't touch your leg. Why is the mouth in the head, not in the leg? Okay, that's something for you to find out. When you want to eat, yeah, but you put it in the leg. Everything is in the head. Amen. Hallelujah. So why did God design you that way? Alright. So the mouth is the fourth one. The fifth one is what? We in medicine will say the skin is the largest organ. It's the biggest organ in the body. Amen. And God made it that way. Because see, when, with the skin, you feel the environment. Is it not so? That means it gives you the ability to be sensitive to God. Amen. Now, this senses, this, you see, the body can only relate to the environment through these five senses. If any one of them goes out, the body is cut off from the world. Amen. Amen. Can't you see what God is saying to you? God is saying, there's a message there. Because these five senses that are in the body are also in the soul. Amen. Amen. Are we still in the fellowship, biology class? Fellowship. It's in the Bible. We're going to talk about it. Very soon we'll go to Proverbs and I will show you. Now, this is what the devil believes you will not know. That will not teach you. Amen. Because he wants you to be like that woman, Jerusalem and Samaria. This is, are you in my church? No. My church people are not in MIS. I'm not going there. This is MIS program. Don't go there. It's MIS program. Jerusalem, Samaria. God has finished with it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, see, you have to leave that level and come to a higher dimension. Because the cloud of glory is moving. And we need to move with the cloud. Where is the cloud moving to? Cloud is saying, you are the temple of the living God. Now, if you are the temple, then where is the altar? The altar is in you also. Who is the priest? The priest. The chief priest is the mind. Everybody say, the chief priest is the mind. The chief priest is the mind. The chief priest of this new temple is what? The mind. Now, the secret is, without your mind, you can never commit any sin. The devil needs your mind for you to commit sin. How easy it is. So, I am not going to give my mind to the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, think about, I'm not thinking about anything. I'll think about Jesus. Amen. Like the brother told us, think about Jesus. Not when you, the devil had rubbish, you started. If you don't think about Jesus, you start thinking about other things, they start crying. Amen. If you submit yourself to the devil, then you will regret. Brabot was telling us, the devil needs you. He needs you. The devil is not creative. He's just an angel. The Bible says he has made man a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Yet he has crowned man with honor and glory. Amen. Hallelujah. We are in a place where God is taking us beyond the power. He said that we are seated above all principality and power in Christ. Hallelujah. In Christ, we are in a higher dimension than all these principalities and powers. The devil, the spirits that rule in your family, the spirits that rule in your tribe, and the national spirits. We are above them. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a new awareness that he's giving to us. Amen. So, in the natures of the soul, the senses you have in the body are also in the spirit. Okay, let's ask the question. The Bible said that God looked and saw. Does God have physical eyes?
No.
So the Lord heard their prayer. Does he have physical ears? Answer now. Is there any scripture that says that God heard their prayer? Which kind of ear does God have? Everybody, touch your ear now and answer me. Which kind of ear does God have? Which kind of ear does God have? Ah, she said spiritual ear. So you see, I don't preach false doctrine. I'm not preaching false doctrine. Because she has already preached it. So there is natural ear and there is what? Spiritual. Where is the spiritual ear? In the sky. Where is the spiritual ear? Oh, she says in the soul. Ah. Okay. So the senses you have in your body are in your soul. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So you can hear naturally, you can hear spiritually. Amen. You can see naturally, you can see spiritually. You can discern things, you can smell. When you smell, when they start frying plantain now, you know what's going to happen. Everybody's eye starts going there. Why? Because you are smelling it. Do you know you can also discern things? You can discern the moving of the Spirit of God. Amen.
Amen.
And the Bible says that the righteous, the wise man, sees the evil coming. What does he do? He hides himself. But that the simple soul cannot even see. And walks right into the evil. That's why men of all fall into temptation. We do not discern. We cannot discern spiritual things. And the law of priesthood says a priest must not have flat nose.
Yeah.
Huh? Okay, everybody touch your nose. Your nose must not be flat. You know what it means flat? That means you cannot, even the plantain, you can't even smell. How much more chicken? If you don't smell plantain, is it chicken you will smell? So for you to be able to differentiate, you must be able to say, no, this is chicken. This is... So also, spiritually, you must be able to discern the devil.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You can also discern good friends and bad friends.
Yeah.
A boy comes to you, my father is a lawyer, my mother is a doctor, run away. Don't go and befriend him. Do you guess? My father is a lawyer, my mother is a... Run away, I'll take care of you. I'll take you to London. Every holiday we'll go to London. We'll go to America. Don't know. I'll give you a good time. Have you heard? How many people have heard things like that? Okay, you hear it every day. Okay. Amen. Bible said that when they speak fair, that there are seven abominations in his heart. Run away. Amen. So you must be able to discern good friends. Some of us do not discern good friends. Somebody comes around you. You say, oh, I like him. You like him, but the Spirit of God is saying, run away. This one belongs to Viking. Say, no, I like his face. He's a very gentle boy. I wish I can marry him. Marry Viking man. You want to marry Viking man? He belongs to the cult. But he looks good. I like the way he walks. Oh my God. I like to be with him. He treats me like a woman. Really? In fact, he's even more gentle than all those brothers in the fellowship. He's more gentle than all these brothers in this fellowship. Look at, since I met him, look at all the love he has been showing me. Run away. Run away. You need to develop what? Spiritual senses. Flat nose. It will cost you your life. Amen. You cannot afford to be simple. Hallelujah. There must be discernment in your soul. And that discernment is built by spending time with God. The more you are with God, then your spiritual senses begin to be tuned to the frequency of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
God is present. In fact, the Bible says that the Gentiles... Now, I'm jumping to the last one. Well, that's how the Spirit of God is bringing. So, Romans chapter 2. Let's read 2:14. Romans 2:14. Romans 2:14. Okay, Romans 2:12 says, for as many, okay, let me say, for there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. As many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. Verse 15, very important. We shew the work of the law, written where? In their hearts. And their conscience also bear witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or excusing one or the other. Amen. That the law is to be written in the conscience. The conscience is that part of the mind that determines good and evil, that identifies good as good and loves the good, accepts the good, and identifies the evil as evil and rejects it. Amen. It is the seat of judgment. Well, it may be a little bit high, but we will look at it later. But he's saying that the law, that's where the law is written. The law is not meant to be written on tables of stone. That's in the Old Testament. There is a law. There is a place of rule within every individual. Amen. Amen. And that is where God is going. He says, I will put my law in the inward parts. So God wants you to hide his word in your heart. Hallelujah. Because before, when a man is born, the law of God is not operative. What is operative within the soul is the law of darkness. So the darkness must be changed into light. Amen. There has to be a change within. Amen. So we are saying that you must raise your game. You must be able to begin to function at this dimension, because that is where the devil is fighting you. The devil is fighting you in your soul. The Bible says we should abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. Amen. And we're talking about these senses, these natural senses that you find in your body are also in your soul. Amen. Now, if you look at your body, all those senses are in your brain, and your brain coordinates them. Your brain coordinates your relationship with the external world. Amen. That is one half of the story. Now, the brain also has a relationship with the soul. So, you see a human brain, the highest part of the human body is the brain. Now, in the brain, there are chemicals that control your emotions, your mood, being happy, even the way you speak. Everything is in the brain. Amen. So what is God saying to you? God is saying to you that there is an ability that you have to relate to that which is spiritual. Amen. There is an ability that is in you to relate to God. And it's that ability that we want to turn your attention to. And Paul was praying. Say, I pray that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened. Which eye is he talking about? Is it this one? Is it this one? But Paul was praying. Now I pray that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened. Amen. Amen. Well, Is this for Christians?
Yes.
Does it belong to you?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now, why must my eyes be opened? With my natural eyes, I relate with the natural world. Then how would you relate with God? With your spiritual eyes. With your spiritual hearing. With your spiritual nose. With your spiritual taste. Say, taste and see that the Lord is good. Don't you understand? When you taste God, when you have touched God, then you are more interested. When you eat plantain, you eat one, you want to eat the second one. Say amen now.
Yeah.
When you taste God, that God is good, you want more of God.
Yeah.
Say, come and fetch the thirsting in my soul. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want much more, not no more.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
How many people want to be filled?
Yeah.
The Bible says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. No, the devil is telling you, you will not be filled. It is a lie. You will be filled.
Amen.
The devil tells you, God will not hear you. He says, if you seek me, you will find me.
Amen.
Do you know anybody who has sought for God and God said, no, as you are looking for God, he's running away from you. He says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, do not say, who will go to heaven and break God down? Or who will go to the deep and bring? He says, the word is in your mouth. God is present here now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you know that Heaven Channel is in this room, just like you have CNN Channel in this room? In this room, we have a Radio Rivers. Is that true?
Yes.
Do you have Radio Heaven in this room?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. All you need is to tune your ear frequency and you begin to hear the trumpet of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So heaven is not as far as you think.
Yeah.
Brother God will say, open your soul, swing wide the everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, let's go to the second part of the message. Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have questions, we will take questions later. Proverbs 13, verse 2, says, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. Now, what does the other one say? But the soul of the transgressors shall do what? Really? The soul eats. Did you know that? Ah. How many people have given their soul food this morning? Say, soul, it's now time to eat. But you know, some of us read the Bible because if I don't read, my daddy will ask me, which scripture did you read today? You read the Bible, you feed your soul as though you are doing somebody a favor. Amen. Look at it. The soul eats. And what kind of thing does it eat? It's violence. Some people like watching violent movies, horror movies, Nollywood, The Path of the Thunder. Wicked violence. Wicked girl, part 1, part 2, part 3. Abuja, wicked ladies, you watch what you are. Lagos girls, 1, 2, 3, you watch it. Look at it. You are eating violence. The soul must eat. And the energy, the demand for life from the soul, you cannot say no. It's called evil concupiscence. That is an old English word that speaks of strong desire. That strong desire may be for sexual food, or it may be for eye food, it may be for pride food, the pride of life. It requires energy. One of the reasons why I watch football matches is because I want to feed my national spirit. Say Nigeria is playing football today, and the whole day is spent on watching Nigeria. Even before the match is played, you spend 8 hours watching the match that is yet to be played in your mind. How much more when Arsenal is going to play football? You spend 1 week watching the match before the final FA Cup. Or how much more when Arsenal is going to play Chelsea? You watch the match 1 month before the time. Every day you are watching the match. How Lampard will trap the ball. Okay, no, will he play or will he not play? Meanwhile, the scripture you read 5 minutes, you have forgotten. They ask you why you read. Which scripture did I read in the morning? They ask you about Lampard. Say, in fact, Lampard is 24 years old. He was born so and so and so. You know the name of Lady Gaga more than Lady Gaga herself. You know everything that Lady Gaga has done. Beyonce, you know her first name, second name, how many wives she has married, the kind of food she eats in the morning. You know everything. But if they ask you about Genesis, say Genesis. Amen. It's called eating violence. And that is the problem of the youth. Amen. The soul must eat. Remember, when you wake up in the morning, say it for 1 hour. The soul must eat. The soul, don't go and chant. The purpose is to make you to realize it. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, let's go to the next verse. The next verse is verse 4. Let's go to the... He said, the soul of the sluggard does what?
Desire.
Really? The soul desires? But where is the desire coming from? The soul is desiring because remember, there are four natures in the soul. These four natures are living creatures, living beings. They desire, it functions, it needs life, it needs to be satisfied. So the soul of the sluggard desire and had nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall what? Be made fat. Amen. The Bible said that they lusted after the things of the world. Do you know what God did? He said that God gave them the flesh they wanted, but he sent leanness in their soul. There are some people you meet, they are lean. Their heart is, their soul is lean. It's not strong, not rich in the things of God. Amen. Hallelujah. You cannot serve all spiritual things. What's the next verse? Verse 25. 25. What does it say? Okay. So the righteous does what? Eateth to the satisfying of his soul. Amen. But the what? The belly of the wicked. Oh, the door is disturbing. Okay, can you shift this a bit? Okay, maybe it's the door that's affecting. Okay, it's on the door, fine. Alright. So the belly of the righteous shall be, or the wicked shall want. Okay. Let's look at Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16:24. Okay. Can you highlight it? Pleasant words are as an honeycomb. Okay, can we read it together? Sweet to the soul and health
to the Lord.
Amen. Can you tell me pleasant words? What is the pleasant words? The word of God. Amen. Amen. Says pleasant words are sweet to the soul. Amen.
Amen.
You can bring pleasure to your soul through the word of God. Now there's a lie, and that's one of the things I want to address. Now the lie is that the things of God are dull. Amen.
Amen.
Fellowship is dull. Amen. So if they place before you, think of the thing that you like to do, and then think of the presence of God. So we have to. Now, what does Psalm 16 say? In thy presence is what? Okay, can we look at it? Proverbs 16, 20. Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Come down. No, I think it's a bit up. That's 11. Where is that? Okay. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is what? Fullness of joy. At thy right hand are what?
Pleasures
forevermore. So in the presence of God you have joy. You have pleasure. Amen. Manchester United also gives you what?
Pleasure.
And what else? And joy. So let's go to the board now. Let's see Manchester United. The joy that those things will give to you is what? Carnal pleasure. Now that carnal pleasure also comes into your soul. Your emotions are happy. If somebody gives you money, your emotions are excited. But it is short-lived. Amen.
Amen.
So the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen.
Amen.
Now, what is the difference between joy and happiness? Who can tell us? What's the difference? Being happy and being joyful. Yes, who wants to tell us? Nobody knows the difference between being joyful and happiness.
Happiness lasts longer.
Okay, which one? Okay, now, if I bring a check and give you, say you have won 1 million naira, what will happen to you? You are happy. It's temporary. Oh, no. Look, leave those things. It's also enjoying the presence of God. Amen. Leave the butterflies enjoying the presence of God. Okay, amen. Say all creation will praise God. Amen. So don't bother it. So we're looking at joy and happiness. So happiness is something that's temporary and can be kind of, most times it's just, amen. They told us about Polycarp. He was going to be burnt at the stake. Was he crying?
No.
Was he crying?
No.
He was joyful. Amen. There was a joy. There was an excitement in his soul that was coming from God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. So you can be going through a hard time. They are persecuting you. But there is joy within you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. And that joy strengthens your body. It brings strength to you. Amen. You're not answering me. Are you tired of me?
No.
Say amen.
Yeah.
Good. Now, that John chapter 4 where we read, when the disciples came to Jesus, they said, we have brought meat for you. What did he tell them? He said that my meat is to do the will of God and come to complete it. So his own food was doing the will of God. Do you understand? The energy that he got was seeking the will of God, doing the will of God. It can strengthen you more than even physical food. Amen.
Amen.
Is that true?
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
That doing the will of God can give you strength.
Yes.
Much more than eating eba can give you strength. Amen.
Amen.
So the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So if you see a young man that is full of life, it's not necessarily that he's eating eba every time. There is a joy. There is a life. We read the scripture where it says that it is health to his bones.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So you see, you can receive life from both sources. You eat natural food, good food. It strengthens your body. You also eat the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Bread is a piece of energy.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And it's energy for the soul. Energy for the body, energy for the spirit. Is it not a better bread to eat?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
So we're telling you today that you can have excitement.
Yes.
Many of us are not convinced we can have excitement in the things of God. And that's why we're looking for excitement. We're marrying different wives and husbands. We're going from one pleasure center to another. We behave like a people who do not know God because we are looking for excitement. And today, I'm telling you, there is an excitement in Jesus.
Amen.
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 But you must find it. Nobody can find it for you. We can only talk about it. You must find it. I said, many say, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the gate that leads to life, and few there be that find it. You must find it. Your parents can't find it for you. Your friends cannot even find it. Because see, you cannot share the oil. Okay? The foolish and the wise virgin. What made the difference was the soul. The energy in the soul.
Yes.
The ability to find the place to find life. And then to build it, make it your own. You colonize it. Amen. You must find that place in God where you can receive life. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because the soul must have life.
Amen.
The soul must eat. If the soul does not eat good, it will eat darkness. Now, let's look at that scripture. And the scripture that says, to the hungry soul, even that which is bitter is sweet. I'm looking for. Okay. Yes. 27 verse what? Okay, Proverbs 27. Okay, yes. Proverbs 27:7, yeah, that's it. So the full soul loaded and honeycomb. But to the hungry soul, even that which is bitter will be sweet to eat. Amen.
Amen.
So you might find yourself being satisfied with what is not real. Vanity. Amen. You spend all your time giving your energy to what will not satisfy. It's a bondage. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Now, how can you overcome that? A decision. And what was the decision? It's the story of the prodigal son. Alright. Where was the prodigal son? In a far country. Far away from God. There are some of us that have, our soul has gone very far. Your body may be in church, in your father's house, but where are you? You may be in New York. You may be in the nightclub. Okay, now if you say I won't go to Genesis, no problem. I will go to Genesis from my room. Yes, in your heart. You'd be imagining if I was in Genesis or I've sat down at the Chinese section or at the watching movie, I will buy the biggest wine and I will drink. How does it taste? In your mind, you are fantasizing. What I'm saying, does it happen?
Yes.
Oh, really? It does. Amen. And it's vanity.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. The Bible says that he has come to set the captives free.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. That the Son will set you free. You will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Amen.
Amen.
Today is the night of deliverance.
Hallelujah.
And setting free.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Now, let me enter the last part of this message. I want to talk about, we are still talking about the soul. Now, the soul has three natures. There are three that the Bible has told us about. Amen. There are three levels or three natures. And the easiest way to explain it, so you will understand, is to look at this chart now I've shown. This soul can be controlled by the environment, the earthly natural environment. That means it does not realize that there is any life that you can get from God. That is, it is dominated, it is controlled by the physical environment. And that soul is referred to as a beastly soul. Beastly soul. A beast. A beastly soul. So the first one is a beastly soul. Now that means that soul is like the dog. God does not exist. There is no life that you can receive from God. All the energy, all the excitement you want, you get it from your environment. So what that means is that for this soul, it is ruled by its environment. That it is reactive. You're always reacting to circumstances and situations. It's called a beastly soul. That is one level of operation. Amen. Now, before somebody is born again, what that kind of life is, the life of a beastly. That is, it doesn't seek anything from God. It doesn't need God. It don't need to pray. You are the master. Master of your destiny. Brother Bot was telling us about it. That soul actually operates as a god. As far as it is concerned, it is God. Because that's what the devil promised him. If you do so and so, you shall be as gods. So it is a God. The will of that soul says, I am God. The mind says, I am as equal to God. The emotions, everything is all functioning. Irrespective, it doesn't realize or recognize that there is anything called God. That is the lowest dimension of the soul. It is ruled and controlled by its environment. Amen.
Amen.
That's one level. And that kind of soul is directed by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the three energies that are driving it. Amen. Good. The second one is called the living soul. This one is the same as dead soul. The beastly soul is the same as the dead soul. It has no life. It's like the moon. It only receives light. It doesn't have life of its own. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
It doesn't have any source of life or excitement. It must look for things to excite it. So it's like the dead soul, like the moon. And the church can be at that dimension. Amen. And the Bible said there was a woman standing on top of the moon, okay, clothed with the sun, and was pregnant with another child, with a man child. So that's the living soul. And then the third is the spiritual soul. Now, let's explain the spiritual soul. The spiritual soul has no business with natural life. Do you understand? The spiritual soul doesn't need excitement from the body. All its excitement is from God. Amen. Is that possible? Okay, only about 3 or 4 answers. That means we are still not convinced. Amen. And that's why we're in this room. God is trying to convince us. Someone says, all my strengths are in thee. Do you understand? What do you think he's talking of? Say, all my strengths are in thee, oh God. Hallelujah. All my excitement is in you. All my joy is in you. You have to be convinced. How will you marry a man you are not convinced can take care of you? Because they ask the woman, will that go with this man? And that is the question we are being asked. Has Rebecca seen Isaac? Huh? Did Rebecca see Isaac? Does he know whether he's short or tall? You want to marry a short man like me? You know, you want to marry a tall prince. His head is like, it's as tall as he takes his back. Amen. He's tall and handsome, good looking, slender. What else? And speaks tabernacle. Make sure you speak tabernacle, though. Amen. Make sure he speaks tabernacle. Hallelujah. Okay. So this young lady hasn't seen anybody, hasn't seen anything. Is the man fair or dark? Does he have curly hair or round hair? He doesn't know. He said, will that go with this man? He said, I will go. Hallelujah. So Thomas says, unless I see, I will not believe. Hallelujah. So blessed are those who, though they have not seen, have believed. So will you be in that class? In other words, you are seeing with your spiritual eye. He said there were a people that they were looking for a city without foundation. That they saw the promises afar off. And their heart began to speak to those things and respond to the things they were seeing. Amen. Amen. And there was another young man. He said, no, unless I see, is the one I see I will take. He said, Lord Abraham, what should I do? Should I choose? Yeah. And the Bible said he looked and he saw all the valley green and lush. He said, yes. This is a good uncle. He has given me a chance to choose. Uncle, that's what I want. Yeah. But he didn't know that Sodom and Gomorrah were next door. Yeah. Hallelujah. Some of us are choosing by our eyes. And Isaiah says that they shall not choose after the sight of their eyes. Amen. There is life in the spirit. If there is no life in the spirit, why did God say he's taking them to a land flowing with milk and honey? Why? Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the reason why we think God is dull is because we are blind. Our eyes are blind. We can't see God. Amen. So Paul said, oh Lord, I pray that you might open the eyes of their understanding. That they might be able to know, to see the hope of their calling. Amen. We are not excited at God because we are our blind. Our hearts are blind. Our ears are dull of hearing. Hallelujah. The Bible says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, the things that God has prepared for those. But what does it say in the next verse? But those things are revealed to us by the Spirit. Amen. There is a place where those things can be revealed to you. And they have now been revealed. Hallelujah. God can show you video. 3D. More than DVD. Amen. Can show you visions. You can hear voices. A river flow into your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. God can give you much more than the world can give. The reason why we don't have those things is because our senses are dull. The Bible says that the God of this world has what? Blinded the heart of those who do not believe. That is the beastly soul. And we must change from being a beastly soul to a spiritual soul. Amen. The Bible says if we have borne the image of the earth, we must also bear the image of the heavenly. The heavenly man is the spiritual man. And it is a life-giving soul. Hallelujah. In other words, it has received the nature of light and it feeds on light and gives us the energy of light. It's like God. He has come to that nature of God. That is our estate, brethren. Not locational fellowship. We are fellowshipping at the dimensions of light. Amen. What are we saying? The Bible says, all those who dwell on the earth, that there is going to be tribulation. But those who dwell in the heavens, there will be life. So when we look at the outer court, we see the holy place, we see the most holy place. They are all speaking of experiences with God. Right now God is saying, come out of the holy place and go into the most holy. He said we should be dwellers in heaven. So our soul must be spiritual. So when we get born again, our soul becomes living. In other words, we now begin to receive life from God. But we are still receiving energy from the soul. So this is a dual nature. So there is life coming from the body and life also coming from the spirit. And that's where we are. It is temporary. It cannot continue to be so. One must overcome the other one. Amen. Somebody must come out alive. You know that war, that wrestling match they do. They put the two men in the cage and lock it up and throw the key away. One man will come out alive. So who will come out alive? This is a wrestling cage. Port Harcourt is a wrestling cage. You are there. Darkness and light are fighting within your soul. One must overcome. Yeah. Hallelujah. You will decide who will come out stronger. The Bible said that the house of Saul began to be weak and the house of David began to be stronger. Don't you understand? See, there was long battle between the house of David and the house of Saul. But with the process of time, Saul began to grow weak. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you that the house of David is rising up. That is the new breaking news in the church. Somebody says, no, the church is weak. The church is not weak. Those who are perishing will perish. Because darkness is coming upon the earth. That's how light is also coming upon the earth. He said, behold, darkness shall cover the earth. And gross darkness, the souls, the people. That's one end of the story. Go to story number two. But the light of God will arise on the people. Hallelujah. So you have to choose which way you will go. There is carnal energy coming into your soul. And the end time church will love the world. We love the good things of the world. Amen. Take notice. It is carnal energy. There is another energy coming. And once in a while, maybe 5 minutes in a day, it drops inside. Maybe you look at one scripture. Life comes. You say, I'm satisfied with this one life. But while you are doing that, take notice that the darkness is increasing. Because the soul is feeding on the earth. more and more darkness is coming into the soul. After some time, even that little 5 minutes of prayer you are doing will no longer be enough to prevent the HIVs, the cancers. Huh? Yes. So the church is now in a battle because there's no energy. The energy we have is darkness. Bible says, if the light that be in you be darkness. Don't you understand? Amen. The light of the body is the eye. The soul must have energy. And there is nowhere this battle is strongest but among the young people. Amen. Because the Bible says that you young people, you are strong. Because you have overcome the enemy. In other words, you can overcome the enemy. You have the ability to overcome. Amen. And that's what we are teaching you. The principles of spiritual warfare. Know yourself. Know who you are. When you go to war, the first thing you do is to control where your enemy gets food. That's the first law of war. You determine his energy source. You cut off, you blockade all the supplies. When you bomb all the supply lines. When Nigeria was fighting Biafra, first thing they did was they blockaded Biafra. No more ship was coming. Area blockade, naval blockade, land blockade, they lock you in. Nothing goes in, nothing comes out. It's a matter of time, you will die of starvation. We must starve the devil.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you want to overcome, you must starve the devil.
Amen.
What do you do? Cut off the source of life from the earth, from the carnal realm. If you want to overcome. And what do you do? Increase the life coming from the spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You have cell phone. Put tape. Put everything inside. You are walking on the road. Let it be playing. Others are shaking your head. You too be shaking your head. But I've got to shout, hey, hallelujah. You're shaking like this. Amen.
Amen.
Put Bible inside. Anywhere you go, let it play. Amen. Somebody say, let it play. You are sleeping, it's playing. It's the same spiritual principle. Increase the life coming into your soul from the realms of heaven. What it will do is that it will change your appetite. Alright? Now, that's the last thing I will talk. Then I will speak. Then I will go and sit down. Now, the natures of the soul. There are four of them. The mind, the emotions, the desire, and the will. Now, there is a divine order in which they are meant to operate. But the devil has turned it around. Now, in the divine order of God, the mind is the chief part of the soul. The mind. Now, in the mind, the emotions, the will, the desire, the three other areas. So, this is the soul, this is the mind. So you have the desire, the emotions, and the will. Now, in the way they function, the three of them are linked up to the mind. That's the way the soul functions. And in the divine order of God, the mind is supposed to control the emotions. The mind is supposed to control your desire. The mind is supposed to control your will. Amen.
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 Is that clear?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Good. Even though the mind has its own dimension, but we won't go there. Let's just stop at this level. The mind is meant to control the way you feel. It's supposed to control your desires. It's supposed to control your will, the direction which you're going. But the devil has turned it around. Now, the first thing they did historically was to make sure the mind was removed from the control of the Spirit of God, because the mind is meant to be controlled by the Spirit of God. So this is the human spirit. and then the Spirit of God. So the first thing that they were going to do was to bring out, they brought out theories of reason to show that man could reason for himself, didn't need God. All right? But right now, it has changed. What controls the mind or controls the soul is emotion. So the emotion and the desires is summarized by the word passions. The emotion and the desires now control the soul. So the emotion and the desire force the mind in the way to go. And if you are ruled by emotions and your desire, what means is that your soul is carnal, earthbound. That you are controlled by how you feel. If you love a harlot, it's good. If you see a man, you're a man, you like the man, what do? You marry the man because you feel good. Alright? So now they have what they call the emotional mind, emotional intelligence, emotional science. The emotion is being promoted. Amen. Don't be distracted. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's deal with that. Let's come back to our emotions. Hallelujah. Now, the soul is not meant to be ruled by the emotions. You know what you learn when you're in secondary school? You say, look, it is small thing that makes me annoyed. It's small thing that makes me annoyed. You see me? I don't do for trouble. But it's small thing that makes me annoyed. What is that called? Emotion. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, when your emotions rule your mind, that you react more than before you think. Anger, bitterness, all those things are lower natures. And when they control the mind, then it means the mind is in a very low, very, very. And Bible says that those who are carnally minded, what does it bring forth? Death. So if you live after the flesh, what will you do? You will die. But if you live after the spirit, what will you do? It is life. So the mind will always go with the spirit. Is that clear? The mind will always go with the spirit. So what the devil has done, that in the affairs of life, he has switched it. The things that determine what people do is what? If they feel good about it. Passions. And the place where men go to get passion is called Babylon. So where is the passion? There is a restaurant where people go to buy passion. It's called Babylon. Babylon is a new restaurant. It's a new hotel. Amen. How many people know food is ready in Uniport? There's a place called Food is Ready. Now, there is a new place called Food is Ready. What is the name of that place? Babylon. If you want passion, what do? You go to Babylon and you buy passions from Babylon. Amen. Amen. And in Babylon, the Bible says it is the den of every unclean bird, of every hateful bird, of wild beasts, wild spirits. They all congregate in Babylon. They say, where Lord? They say, wherever the carcass is, that's where the eagles. The eagles, speaks of the vultures. The vulture eats on that which has no life. So what is he saying? When your soul desires that which does not have the life of God, you are feeding on dead things, lifeless things. Hallelujah. Amen. Say amen now. Say amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So there is, you must have a testing. You must have something in you that tests. Anything that comes, you test it. What are you looking for? The life of God. You must have a sensor. Amen. Amen. When somebody is singing a song, you will run it through. Does it have the life of God? Yes. If it doesn't have the life of God, you close the gate. You cannot enter. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. You must develop it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. When they bring the film, say no problem. You run the life of God through it. You run that sensor. Does it have the life of God? If it has, yes, come in. If it doesn't have, sorry, you cannot come in. Go away. Amen. Hallelujah. Now what he's saying. So the beastly soul will feed on that which does not have the life of God. So that's the vulture, you know, it's the nature of the vulture. It desires dead things. The less of the life of God it has, the more it desires. Hallelujah. And the people of God, they hate God. So what they are doing now is that they are taking the life of God more and more and more and more and more out of life. Anything that will have give you the life of God, they will take it away. So what it means is that you must be going more and more out of the world. Amen. Because you cannot find God in the world. Hallelujah. So you and I must make choices. We must make choices. Where will you go? How will you lap the water? Remember, you told us in the night. You have come to the waters. We are talking about the waters, how you receive life. The waters speak of life. The things that do not have the life of God are not for you. Should not be for you. Hallelujah. The things that have the life of God, I am going to invest on them. Hallelujah. Friends that will not encourage me in that way are not my friends. Hallelujah. They may be my brothers. They may be from my village. They may be from where? My fellowship. Hallelujah. They say, your brothers and sisters. They say, who is my brother and sister? Any man that does the will of God is my brother and my sister. Amen.
Amen.
So Jesus made a choice. You too must make a choice.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you find in the world energy centers. The world is, the devil is building strongholds. Sexuality is one major stronghold the devil is investing on. So everything now must be sold by sexuality. Don't you understand? Sex is the biggest energy the devil is giving out. And young men who do not have understanding are flocking to it. Simple souls. Souls that do not have the wisdom of God, the fear of God, are flocking. And you and I must not be found in that congregation.
Amen.
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 So the Bible says, with all you are getting, get wisdom. You need wisdom. Wisdom is the principal ornament of the virgin. It's the principal ornament of the bride of Christ. Of the soul that will be joined to Christ. Wisdom. Because the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, how would you be able to descend all the spirits? It's difficult. So there's one track way of doing it. It is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord will make you run away from evil. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. Amen. So we must ask God for the fear of the Lord. When we fear God, we will depart from evil. We will close the door for anything that does not have the life of God. So to summarize, what have we said? We say that there is a change. God has brought help to us. God has made a provision for you. Hallelujah. And He has given us a way. He is showing us the way in which you must function. He is opening the door of life. And you and I must come to God. We must spend time. And that is what this conference is all about. So you must take time to go over it in your mind, ask questions, talk about it, and come to the point of decision. What would you do with this man called Jesus? Would you go with him? If you are going to go with him, it's not just, it is something that will affect your mind. It will affect your soul. It will affect the activities of the soul. The things that you do in the secret places, it will affect all those things. But there is a promise for deliverance for everyone that will make the right response. Remember, God brought them. It was to choose 300. He said, bring them to the waters. And it is their response to the word of God that determines those who are chosen and those who are not chosen. Right now, God is bringing us to the waters. And it will be very good for us to make the right responses. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.